It's Melbourne Cup Day. So we've put Triple M's Rush Hour in the stables.
Have a spell, Bill. Put the feet up.
And instead, this is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour.
I feel good!
Joey, happy Melbourne Cup Day. I hope you tipped a winner.
Same to you, Billy, but I tell you what is a winner, and that's what we've got coming up this hour.
Spot on, Joey. We chat to Mark Beretta about the greatest moments in Australian sport. And there's a Melbourne Cup winner in that list.
Plus, we'll talk about some weird rules.
But up next, Rosie Walton joins us with some social media feedback.
Better be positive, Rose.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour. You won't miss a second of JB and Billy if you download the listener app. LISTNR.
I feel good!
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
Bit of feedback from Hose Mary.
Yeah.
It's social media feedback.
Be more constructive with your feedback, please.
With
Aussie Supermole
Rosie Walton.
and a much more successful member of this show than Liz Truss is a member of British Parliament.
Well, what intrigues me about her is that she's 11 months older than me, but looks 25 years
comfortably
older.
Comfortably 25 years older. 45 days she's lasted.
How long have you lasted here?
27 years?
27
years. She will be, Liz Truss, the butt of every English comedian's jokes for the rest of her life.
Great. I'm all for it. I'm just thankful it's not me. Now, we were reminded how much you hate Stonehenge at the beginning of the show today, which reminded me that we got a message from a guy called Bevan Stokey on Instagram when you were away.
And
I piled it, you know, put it to the side.
Yes.
Is a very, very far away photo of actual Stonehenge.
Mm.
And all Bevan has done is written, Bubble Guts was right, the Stonehenge is boring as batshit.
Yes, spot on. Duane and I went, I think we climbed over and actually sat on the rock.
We used to be able to get closer to
Well, back in the good old days, yeah, exactly. Yes. You could speed down that highway.
Okay. this is a message on Facebook from Jenny Yamilla. There's a thumbs up on Wednesday. And then yesterday, well, actually this morning at 1:34 a.m, hello, Triple, where are you from? Should I reply, Bill?
1:34.
Just called you Triple.
Triple. Who replies?
XL Gazman.
Yeah, yes.
Susie Harback is replying to a conversation we had about how we're going to need to replace Ross Lyon on the Sunday Rub.
Sunday Rub, yep.
And you mentioned a few names, but Susie's saying, I vote for Blair Brownless to replace Ross Lyon for Triple M footy on Sundays. Susie.
That's Blair's
Susie.
Other
half.
No. What do you call it when you have another handle? That's what we'd be using, Blair.
Oh, like a burner account.
A burner account. That'd be Blair.
We had Blair on the boundary down in
Very
Hobart.
Good, Blair.
Not really at all.
Very good. King of Tassie.
Added nothing to the broadcast.
He did. He was actually all right. He was all right, Blair. I'll stick up for him.
Chris Judd, three votes for me.
And me. Yes. I used to love working with CJ5. Mm. Bring him back.
Yes.
Joel Richardson sent us a message saying, is Nick Revolt coming on in the King of Kings absence? He is great. He is great, but he's in Texas.
He is.
And the time difference, not going to work, but hopefully early next year we'll get him back in.
Tell some good stories.
No, he's good.
We love the alpaca.
He loves it over there.
Doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Sends the kids to school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wears his cowdy boots and hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Barbecue.
All hat, no cattle.
It's so good. Ethan Ward sent us a message saying, G'day, Ethan from Alabama, just an American who likes his footy and rugby league. Got a few tough words for Bill to try to say. I have a friend in uni who is a tennis player from Slovenia, and I would like Bill to say his hometown and two of his peers. Well, Ethan, we don't know how they're pronounced either, so I'm not going to do that. But thank you for your message.
I can't even say Slovenia.
Did I not say it correctly?
No, you did. You were good.
Anyway, you had a joke that was mildly amusing. Let's hear a bit of it, Rabs.
I used to love building sandcastles with my grandma until Mum took her ashes away.
No. That's a lot of ashes.
That's a lot of ashes.
How big was grandma?
Big girl.
Eb021 commented on Instagram going, looking at the size of Bill will tell you how big his grandma was.
Actually, poor old granny wasn't that big. I'm sorry. I shouldn't talk about it. Like that,
your own grandma.
Yeah, my own grandma. Yeah.
But the highlight was Bill's nemesis had an absolute Todd from Barwon Heads. Failed to deliver and you actually got one up on him, which was delightful to see. The video's gone off on Instagram, TikTok, and all the rest of it. Nathos 28. Bill gets one up on Todd. That was awesome. Was hoping for a swear at least once. Enjoy your break, King of Kings. Whoever takes your seat has a big spot to fill.
Of course they do.
But I don't think they'll live up to the standards, but I hope they can.
No, they won't.
What a giant suck.
Yeah, exactly.
They won't. Exactly.
Well, Joey won't, and bloody Daisy won't.
Oh, no, they're good. They're young.
No.
Actually turn up.
Fresh.
No.
Not at 4 o'clock or 5 to 4. They might turn up a bit earlier than you, which would be hard.
Bring zero to the table, those two.
No, they'll be all right.
Well, Daisy's pulled out on lunch today.
Yeah, well,
who does that?
Moving house.
Is that what it is? Yeah, so you say yes, but then don't turn up.
Well, that happens, Jim. We all make mistakes. That's why there's rubbers on the end of pencils.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm looking forward to the next hour and 10 minutes of working with you.
Thank you, Hose.
Don't be facetious.
No, I am. It's another hour and 10 to go, isn't it?
Yeah. You've had a month longer than normal, Hose, so that's
privileged.
How gracious I am.
What's been his best bit?
Anyway.
Couldn't answer.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I'm going to do a bit of twerking up there, so stand by.
Imagine, Bill.
Since 2000, Australia has seen some unforgettable sporting moments.
It's gone for it. There it is.
And a champion becomes a legend. He's got the fair goal. He's got the premiership.
The Brisbane Lions have won three in a row.
What a legend. What a champion.
Now, our next guest has ranked the top 20. Please welcome Mark Beretta.
Hi, yes, Joey, let me introduce this man. He's from Geelong, very good Geelong boy. He's a TV host. He's a water ski champion times 10, if you don't mind. Journalist, he's done it all. He's been in the game 32 years. Mark Beretta, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Gentlemen, good to be with you. Good to be with you. Good to see you, Billy. You're looking fit and young as ever, mate.
Well, not really. I'm a bit old and a bit fat, but that's all right. But also now we can add author. I know you had another little book there, but you've got a nice little book here, mate. Tell us about it.
I sat down during COVID just to, mainly for a bit of fun, to make a list of what I thought were the best sporting moments. And the list grew and grew, to be honest. And then I had a chat to some people about, you know, what we were doing. And the publisher got in touch and said, look, why don't you turn it into a book and make it 20? And I thought, geez. So then I had the task of trying to squeeze it down to 20 and then to rank them from 1 to 20. So it was a lot. It took me probably 6 months because I'd wake up in the morning and I'd go, nah, that's all wrong. And I'd throw some out and put some in and change the order again. And over 6 months, I maybe got it roughly in the right order.
Not bad. Well, you know what the Aussies do? We do bat above our average. There's no doubt about that.
Here
and overseas, per capita and all that. And even some of the things that happen overseas. So we start at, just we'll go through a few, but what's number 20, Joey boy?
Oh, number 20 was the Women's World Cup.
Yes, that's right.
The Women's T20 World Cup.
Who smashed 100? Healy, wasn't it? She smashed 100.
Yeah, Lissa Healy had a ripping night out. That moment stand out. And what I tried to do was grab the moments that really impacted the Australian public, that made people just stop and watch and take away a great memory. And that was a changing moment, not only for women's cricket, but for women's sport. And in this country, to have a sellout at the MCG for a final, absolutely.
Right.
It was massive. Katy Perry sang that night.
Yep.
You know, the whole spectacle was incredible and the match was fantastic and the Australian win was brilliant. And, you know, that was a beauty.
Well, the one that stands out to me, number 9, John Aloisi, the penalty goal to get us in the world. Because it's one of those ones where you remember where you are.
Took his shirt off.
I was at Fraser Gehrig's house. He was hosting a bit of a party, having a few beers with a few Saints boys, and we can remember going mad, jumping up and down in the living room. So that's one of my favourites, Bill. What about yours? What's one of your favourites?
Well, let's get to number 3 because we've got a bit of audio here, and it is Adam Scott, Joey.
There you go.
First Aussie to win the US Masters.
There it is, Adam Scott. A life changer.
Unbelievable, magical moment. He is now officially the Wizard of Oz.
We can all picture that too in the dark.
Yes.
He does that big celebration. Very, very special moment. Well, I liked number 2, and I reckon this is one of Beretta's favourites. Yeah. Clearly, White made number 2 because it's right down his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Cadel Evans winning the Tour de France.
This is the winning ride of the Tour de France. Bet your boots on it. Cadel Evans cannot be beaten now. He is over a minute to the good. He's won the Tour de France.
Oh, how good was that, eh? And a Geelong boy, Bowen Heads boy.
Yeah, and I think, look, the moment that cemented that was, remember when he came home to Melbourne and they had the reception in Fed Square.
Yep.
And I don't know, there must have been 20, 30,000 people that turned up there in yellow shirts and, you know, just got involved that day. And that's made Cadell a legend. And I think his backstory too, I talk about a story in the book. And the great thing about it was I went back to a lot of these athletes and had spent some time at length with them, just going through the moments and what they remember. And, you know, for most of them, it was really rare that they'd revisited the moment.
Yeah.
Quite often, they don't watch it. They've never looked back at it, or they haven't seen it very often. And they haven't talked about it in depth that much.
So Adam Scott, number three. Cadell Evans, number two. But number one of Mark Barretta's, his new book, The Greatest Moments in Australian Sport, is this.
You changed my order, Bill.
There it is, the goal after the siren against Footscray. Well done, Brett. I didn't think it'd be number one, but well done.
There goes the sales of the book, Brett. No one's buying the book now.
That's gold.
That can't be true.
That's gold. How did you know? That's what I really wanted to do, Bill. You're right.
Yeah. No, number one is this. Who would ever forget this?
Freeman runs up to her. Mary inside. Kathy lifting. Goes up to Graham. Takes the lead. Looks a winner. Draws away from Graham and Mary. This is a famous victory. A magnificent performance. What a legend. What a champion.
Yeah, fair enough that. That was unbelievable. We all watched that. Did you actually speak to her?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I was with her 4 years before in Atlanta in 96 when she got the silver medal. And this is why this story was, I thought, was so special. I was there when she met her mum in the stand after her race.
Yep.
And she said to her mum, I'm sorry, I only got the silver. And we've all just gone, really? Yeah. But she said, I promise you I'll get the gold in Sydney.
Oh.
I don't think we've ever had an Australian athlete who has performed under that much pressure. And delivered. And, you know, that is just, I don't think there's any argument about that moment. There might be about other ones, but I reckon that one, no one says, no, I've got another one to top that. There's none better.
No, well done, Brett. Yeah. And where can we find this magnificent book?
Online. In all the best and all the really cheap bookshops as well, Billy.
Brett's Greatest Moments in Australian Sport is available from today as well, boys.
Yeah, worth getting. Good Christmas present, I reckon, Bill. It's a beauty.
He's a good Geelong boy. Well done, Brett. Thank you very much.
Good on you, legends. Great to chat, boys. Thank you.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Oh, I got another one, Jim. Just like the other one.
Hey, Billy, I don't know if you saw this today, but just a little bit of frustration from one of our stars, a Grammy Award winner, Kings of Leon member, Nathan Followill. Do you know him?
Yeah. Plays for the Kings of Leon.
Yes, that's right.
Yep.
He took to Twitter to slam the bucket list golf course that he wanted to play in Sydney.
Yeah.
Because there's a no tattoo policy.
No.
So he went there to play. It was on his bucket list. It's been his dream. He wouldn't name the Sydney golf course, but he went there to play. And when he got there, they turned him and said, you need to cover up all your tattoos if you want to be able to play at this golf course.
He's the drummer of the Kings of Leon, by the way.
He is.
So there's a picture of Nathan here, okay?
Mm.
Not too bad tattoos. He's got a couple on his, one on his bicep, one on his wrist or there. He's got none on his neck or face. Like, it's not the worst tattoos I've ever seen.
No, but that's right.
So you've got to cover them up. That's what this golf course, prestige golf
basically
course.
Basically, all these fans are saying it's a real old fuddy-duddy golf course with all these archaic rules that you have to cover up. Because tattoos are now, let's be honest, Bill, it's part of life. Everyone's got a tattoo these days.
Well, I haven't. Have you?
No, I haven't got one either.
And you haven't.
No.
That's three. Well, we've been the three only blokes in. I was having a look at Ray Johns.
He's seen that. He's got some good ones.
I know. But everyone's got a tattoo. So surely. And so he's cracked it. He said, welcome to the 1950s.
Yes.
That's what he wrote. Well, good on him.
Thinks it's an old, outdated rule. So it got us thinking, didn't it?
It did.
About some outdated rules, Bill.
Righto.
Some outdated rules that were like ridiculous that we need to move past.
Exactly.
And like, you said you had a couple.
Well, I did. I found some. Actually, Whitney found these. But do you know it's an offence to fly a kite in Victoria?
What?
In public space in Victoria, you can't fly a kite.
Otherwise, what happens?
You get a fine, $777.
Where do you fly a kite then? In your backyard?
I don't know where you're allowed to fly a kite. Not allowed to do vacuuming before 7 a.m. in Victoria?
Oh, that's not a rule.
That is a rule.
That's just the next door neighbour's rule.
No, I know. But there's a maximum fine of $18,000 if you do the vacuuming before 7 a.m.
What?
Homing pigeons? You're not allowed.
Not the homing pigeons.
Any person entering upon enclosed land or premises for purpose of kill, oh, you know, they kill or wound or disable them. Sorry.
Oh, that's fair enough.
I probably should have read that. But also, you're not allowed to do business with pirates.
Again, that's probably fair.
That's probably fair enough. But there are some weird and wonderful laws. So 133353, hence, what's the phone topic?
What are some outdated rules that need to be scrapped?
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Drink anyone?
Yeah.
Cheese them? Mark from... Look, I've just said something really embarrassing and there's been a nice pregnant pause. Yes. Anyone like a cheese?
Bill, before the break, we were chatting about just some silly or ridiculous or outdated rules and laws that we just think, well, come on, who are we kidding?
That's right.
Did you find a couple from around the world?
I did, around the
world. These are true, by the way. These are true laws.
Do you know it's illegal to hike naked in Switzerland?
No.
You get $100 for your bare bottom walk.
Well, you know, you spoke about you're not allowed to harm the homing pigeons.
Yes, fair enough.
Well, you know, in Venice, Italy, you're not allowed to feed the pigeons. It's actually illegal to feed the pigeons. If you get busted doing that, you get fined.
Feed the chooks?
Do you feed the chooks?
What about this? Don't wear your Winnie the Pooh T-shirt in Poland. You know why?
Why?
Because Winnie the Pooh doesn't wear pants. So you're not allowed to wear your T-shirt. That's in Poland.
That's stupid. And this one in Scotland is true. It's illegal to ride a cow while drunk. That makes sense. It was an 1872 law that still exists
now. How many
now?
Scottish blokes do you reckon on the pitch would have jumped on a cow? Hey. So we're asking stupid, weird, old rules, of course. And we go to Ballarat and talk to Robert. G'day, Rob.
Morning, afternoon, how are we?
Even afternoon, it's
nearly evening.
But tell us a stupid, weird, old rule.
You're not allowed to change a light globe, you need an electrician.
Mm. Is that technically a rule?
Yes.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah, look it up, you're not allowed to.
That's why I do it, Bill. See, I call the electrician.
Oh, Jim. Joe, you just change
the
light.
That's why I call Hire a Hubby.
Make sure the PowerPoint's off and just change it.
No, you're not allowed. It's in the rule.
All right.
Sarah from Vermont. G'day, Sarah. What's a silly rule that you know?
You're not allowed to wear your slippers out on the footpath.
No.
True.
Wearing slippers outside was illegal in Queensland, but was repealed in 2004.
It would be repealed, but yes.
Yeah. It used to be considered a sign of a person's intention to engage in robbery. That's
strange, but that's actually a true law.
What if you just go and get Uber Eats?
Imagine that. You walk down the street in slippers, you get fined.
So that's probably not correct anymore, Sarah. Sorry.
Adrian, you're there? Adrian's got a bit of a contentious one. What's a rule that you think's outdated we need to scrap, Adrian?
Yeah, I reckon wearing collars in the MCC members. I think we've all moved on from that.
You reckon we're past that?
Yeah, I reckon so. Every other part of the ground, you can wear what you like, but MCC members, you won't get in without a collar.
Mm. Collar, righto. So T-shirt with a collar? Yes.
Yes.
And no rip.
That would be a polo shirt.
And no ripped jeans, I think, Adrian, too.
Yeah, that's right. And that's fair enough. Ripped jeans, fair enough. But the collar, I think we can do without the collar anymore.
Brendan's there in Churnside Park. G'day, Brendo.
Hey, guys, how are we?
What do you got for us, Brendo?
So it's still legal to have a wee on the front wheel of your car on the driver's side in Victoria because it goes back to the horse and cart days.
So you can do it where the back wheels and the passenger side?
No. Front wheel of your driver's side.
Wow.
Everywhere else you'll get charged.
Ooh.
There you go.
What that? I can't believe that. How many times have you done that?
Heaps.
Surely if it was in your driveway, you could do it. Could you? Brendo?
You can do it wherever you want, mate.
Righto.
There you go.
There you go.
Well done. Nice. I like this. We're learning.
Is he saying we can't do it or we can't
He's saying you can only do it on the front driver's side wheel.
Right. Not anywhere else.
Why didn't he say that?
What about the last one? We'll get to Mark in Seaford. Mark, you got the last one. What's a ridiculous law that you know?
Hold up, mate. Just getting down off my cow to put my beer down. apparently in Texas, it's illegal to own more than 6 vibrators.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
6 is the maximum.
Why would you want 6?
Oh, that's a good question. I couldn't tell you.
Variety,
I guess.
A lot of strange laws in Texas, though.
There is. So. Hey, I remember Rui come back and you couldn't shoot a
buffalo from the second floor of a building or something. It was something real weird.
Real weird over there.
The 6 vibrators one, it's not an issue.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Where's the boss? I've got to sign on for next year. I haven't signed.
I would do it quickly.
Ursula Carlson joins us.
You've done it all. You're a panelist on The Masked Singer. You've done that. A regular on Have You Been Paying Attention? You've got your own Netflix stand-up one-hour special. You've got a podcast.
That's right.
You're a busy woman.
I'm trying my hand at everything. Everything.
And what are you good at?
Laundry. The other stuff that I'm good at is driving. I'm a really good driver. Like, right. I don't think a lot of people will own up to, they think they are good drivers, but they are not. Mm. I took a couple of courses of those advanced driving courses. I'm really good at driving.
Yeah. So could you drop, like, in a car race?
Yeah.
Like, that good?
Yeah, that good.
Bathurst?
That good, I reckon.
Could you go to Bathurst? Brunette.
Yeah. Well, no, technically I couldn't because I can't fit into those overalls. those roll cages they have in the car is pretty tight. Like, I'm not climbing in through any window anytime soon. But if they ever allow a Kia Carnival to race in Bathurst.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's
my
the go.
Clear my schedule. I'm in.
So tell us about the stand up, the Just Know, because you will be touring next year at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Then you're going all around Australia. Tell us a little bit about the stand up.
Well, so this show, I started writing it because, you know, off the back of all of these lockdowns and all of this, you know, people's opinions and people's everything, I just thought we're getting to a point where everyone is so fatigued of other people. We're fatigued of their opinions, of their views in life, of their hobbies, of their cooking. Even, like, I got so angry at my neighbour because at the end of all the lockdown, she offered me a sourdough starter and some kombucha snot or whatever they call that stuff that float on top of the water to make kombucha. She goes, would you like some? I'm like, no, I would not like any of that. She goes, it used to be my grandmother's starter. Like, it's been in her family for hundreds of years. I go, that sounds disgusting. Put it in the bin. I don't want any of that stuff. I'm just, it's a no from me. Yeah. And there's so many things now that I go, no, I'm not into it. Just get rid of it.
So you're encouraging everyone to say just no.
Yeah. No. Just enough is enough.
Hey, and you love doing the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Coming up. It is a great time. You love doing that.
Yeah, I love it. You know what? Like, the first few years that I came to Melbourne was only during the Melbourne Comedy Festival. And then once I started doing Have You Been Paying Attention, I looked around and I'm like, where's all the posters? Where are all these comedians that smell funky giving out flyers during the festival? I need these people here. But yeah, I love it. I love coming back every year for the festival. It's the only festival I still do.
Right. Oh, wow. There you go. Wow. Very good. Well, we'll be very lucky to have you here touring next year, and then you're going to travel around the rest of Australia. Not to Geelong, though, Bill.
No, I'll tell you that. You're not going to. Have you been there?
I haven't heard great things, actually. Oh. So, but also, it's not that far, is it? Like, isn't it just
70 k's?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when people go, why don't you go? I got tricked by the Australian people.
Yeah.
I did a gig in Narrawarren.
Narrawarren.
Two shows in Narrawarren. I thought it was far out.
Why were you there?
It's a suburb. Yeah. I thought I was doing a gig in a parking lot. Yeah. And they go, you can stay over. And when I looked on the map, I go, oh, I'm driving back. I'm not staying here at Kmart.
It's there.
Yeah. I'm like, I got tricked and I will not be tricked. And when I walked out, I'm like, where am I? Where are you people? Why are we here? You are too lazy to drive to Melbourne. And so my message to the people of Geelong, to the people of Narrawarren, get in your cars and come explore your own backyard and come and visit Melbourne and see some other shows.
Come and see you.
You can grab tickets from today for Ursula's shows, livenation.com.au, not only the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, but of course in Brisbane, Hobart, Adelaide and all around Australia.
Before we let you go, Ursula, we always finish the show. Billy does one of his really lame, bad dad jokes. Have you got a really lame sort of dad joke that we can finish with?
I like when I'm driving with kids or with anyone in the car, you just point at any livestock and you go, they just recently won a massive award. They just, you know, like really special cows. Yeah. And like, really? Oh, yeah. And you go, yeah, they're outstanding in their field. And I get that, yeah.
That's shit. See, Bill? That's the stuff we like.
Yeah. One is she didn't say a sheep in New Zealand.
Well, I didn't want to insult your ward.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And you haven't sat too close to me. I've got a cramp.
Oh, no. He's got a cramp.
It's Melbourne Cup Day. So we've put Triple M's Rush Hour in the stables.
Have a spell, Bill. Put the feet up.
And instead, this is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour.
I feel good.
We got another huge hour of gold on Cup Day, but where's Joey gone?
I think he's gone to the races, Bill. In this hour, we've dived deep into the archives to include our old mate, JB.
Oh, that fool's head. Only does 6 months of work a year. Fair dinkum, he's useless.
Well, you can only put up with you for that long, Bill, but soon we'll chat to legendary horse trainer David Hayes, who trained a mountain of winners for the late Queen Elizabeth II.
He did indeed. Welcome to the voiceovers, Rabsy, too,
thank
by
you,
the way.
Mate.
Plus, I've got a very special Melbourne Cup Day joke. But next, oh no, it's the words you can't say.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour. You won't miss a second of JB and Billy if you download the listener app. LASTNR.
I feel good!
Right now, though, it's not time for Topics Brayshaw.
Ooh.
It's not time for Topics Brownless.
No.
It's time for Topics Walton. Hello, Rosie.
I like it.
Thank you for allowing me back in the studio after my little mishap the other day.
Old Topics.
Yes.
Is this the first Topics you've ever done?
Probably.
All right, don't stuff it up.
All right. One of the things that we love about you, Bill, is your inability to speak.
Yes.
Essentially. And the other day you were talking about Namibia.
Well done. You've been working on that.
A nation from Africa.
Well, it's a country, Bill, yeah.
No one else has any issue saying Namibia. It's only you.
Namibia. It's a country near Angola.
Thank you, Bill.
Sure.
Thank you.
There are many place names that you aren't able to say, and Aldrin Pagoli asked if he could have an idiot file combining quite a few of them. Let's have a listen, Rabs.
The team of the moment at the Minia.
Oh, my God. What the hell?
Well, you're
what is this?
At the minute, is Namibia.
No!
Ukraine.
B-R-O-C, yes.
Then Brazil. And then Azerbaijan.
So they train at Coburn. They train in a whole different
Cockburn.
Place. No, it isn't. It's Coburn.
How do you spell it?
I lived in the joint for 20 years. It's called Coburn.
How do you spell it?
I don't care how you spell it. It's pronounced Coburn.
Jim, how do you spell it? That's a question.
No.
C-O-C-K.
I don't care.
That's cock to me. B-U-R-N. Burn. Worcestershire.
What?
Worcestershire.
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 What was the reference to Yabba Dabba Doo?
It was something about Abba Dooby Dabby or whatever it's.
Oh, no.
Now, this is a video from the pro fishing tournament.
Yes.
In Ohio. Ohio.
So, they're just some of the place names that you are unable to pronounce.
Bullying.
It's not bullying.
What is it?
What, say it again?
Bullying.
Okay.
Well, we all make mistakes.
Yes, we do. Yeah. 133353.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
hence.
You're supposed to say hence.
I did, but I lost my voice.
Oh,
jeez.
Good.
Let's
start.
Try again.
Yeah.
133353. Hence. What word can't you pronounce?
Well, it's funny coming from you, Rosemary, because we all make mistakes, don't we? Yes?
Yeah.
Even old entitled Dick over there, he makes mistakes. Yes, you have.
Never.
I know you're never wrong, but you do make mistakes.
Thank you, Neds.
Yes. But
and you, Jared.
Just you the other day, Hose, when you were on this
Me?
Show, and you had to say something and it slipped
never
out.
It again.
Have we got anything?
Yesterday you butchered another country.
Oh. Oh, no.
Namibia. You couldn't say.
Oh, now, Hose, you're going red again.
I went
red the other day when you dropped it.
Well, I don't often say that word, so it took me by surprise.
Exactly.
No. Nothing with
manners. Oh, we're all surprised by you saying that. Well, words like rural is hard to say.
Right.
A lot of people struggle with that.
Okay.
And Ohio.
Well,
look at him. And when he gets it out, as carefully as that, the smug look on his stupid round head. 133353, what word can't you say?
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Remember what we used to do? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Remember?
Oh, and Mondays.
Mondays and Fridays off. What happened to that fact?
Well, we got too popular.
We're going to get a few idiot file moments here because we're talking about words you can't say.
Yeah, 133353, ring us with the words you can't say. Amanda joins us from East Keilor. Hello, Amanda.
Amanda.
Hi.
What's your word you can't say?
Colloquially. Colloquially.
What's she trying to say, Jim?
No. Colloquially.
Colloquially.
Who's Willie?
No. How would you say it, Bill?
No, I'm with Amanda. It's hard to say. Colloquially. Oh. It's a bloody hard word to say, man. I've never used that word, you know, anywhere.
Really?
What's it mean?
Colloquial.
Well, that and proverbially. Proverbially. Actually, I can't say.
What are you doing 4 to 6 every day? Oh.
Stay on the line, Amanda, like yeah. that. Wayne in Mount Martha. Wayno?
Wayno.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
What can't you say?
It's not actually me. It's the wife.
Yeah.
And she used to work in a pharmacy, and she can't say moisturiser. She used to say moisturiser. Yeah.
And when you work in there, Bill, you need to be able to say that word. People are in there to find it. What is it?
Moisturiser.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Robin Hobart.
Oh, Robbie boy. How's Hobart?
Bright and sunny, Billy.
Yeah. Actually, it would be today. I agree with it. Yes. Oh, nice.
A great day today, Billy.
What can't you say, Robbie boy?
Well, the hard word that I find hard to say is negligence.
What? Listen to Bill. I know. Getting a laugh up. This is what we deal with every day.
I know, but it's funny saying? Hearing them. Oh, no, it's another word. There's two words I don't use in my vocabulary.
Oh.
Colloquial.
Yes.
And negligent.
Oh. He says it quick.
Yeah, thinking
he thinks he can get it out. Get
away, it is a bloody hard word, Rob. You ever use it?
I just say I got caught neg driving.
Stay there like well done, a Kieran bro. Mildura.
Oh, Kizza.
Hello, how are we, boys?
Good Kieran. Thank you.
Ambulance. You know when you dial 000?
Oh, it's that thing you get in the back of when you're a crook. Say it again.
When you're a nurse. It's pretty hard to say.
So you're a nurse, Kieran?
Yes.
And when what is it called again when it comes in?
The ambulance.
We shouldn't be laughing.
I love that people come on and are such good there. Sports.
Yes, exactly
right.
Absolutely.
And hey, what is it, Bill?
Ambulance. It is ambulance.
Ambulance.
I don't know if it's Bill. There's no R there. Ambulance.
Bryce is in Berwick. Hello, Bryce.
Afternoon, Cobbers.
Hey, Brycey boy. What can't you say?
I can't say souvlaki.
Oh, Christ. That's an easy one.
Go on.
Souvlaki. That's how you say it.
There's no A in the middle of it.
Souvlaki. How do you say it?
Even Bryce looks having a giggle.
What do you say it?
Souvlaki.
It's a souvlaki, Bill. There's not an A in there.
Souvlaki. There you go. See?
We got Shawnee from Coldstream.
Bill's clapping everywhere, by the way. Hello, Shawnee.
Hello, boys.
What do you have trouble saying, Sean?
Oh, when you put your foot down in the car, the old when you accelerate.
You accelerate.
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 Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, no, but Bill's now having his go at it.
Yeah. Well, I have a bit of trouble with engine as well.
But the cowboys and engines.
Yeah, it's all right.
Bill.
Engine.
Yeah.
Engine.
No, that's it. But we've got another caller come through. Who? Doreen from Doreen.
No.
Doreen.
Hello, Ghost Doreen. How are you, Bill?
Doreen? Is that you?
You idiot. Of course it's not Doreen. How does...
Oh, no.
Oh. Is that bloody dickhead?
Is that Todd?
I think it is.
What's happened to his line?
Oh, good. Sucked in, Todd. You sucked in. It backfired. You smack. Sucked in. Get stuff, Todd, and we're not taking any more phone calls. Shut down the phones, Whitney.
He can still hear you, Bill, so you let him know.
Good, you absolute flog you are. And what about the Cats winning the Premiership and Geelong, how good it's been with the World Cup happening down there. Beautiful 30-degree days.
Boot cup.
So get stuffed, Todd, and sucked in. Go, Cats. Never call again.
Is he there still?
No.
Todd.
Stuff him.
No.
He's gone.
No, he's gone. Sucked in. That's the
Fats
best.
Just opened up on Todd from Bowen Edge. I can't believe what just happened there.
Good, he dropped out. He's going to be a smart aleck, and he dropped out. Doreen from Doreen. You should have known something was going to go on.
Should have known.
Should have known.
What happened to him?
Exactly. He's dropped off, which is good. Sucked in. We'll play a song.
He's got one. He's finally got one back.
Finally got one back.
Go, oh, I'm happy with this.
He's rubbing his
Now
chest
he's off. Rubbing his own boob.
Well done, Fat.
Oh, no.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Great Britain, then America, Ukraine, and then Azerbaijan.
Right now, we're joined by one of the world's most renowned horse trainers, Bill, in David Hayes.
Spot on, Rabsy. Good bloke, too. Currently in Hong Kong. But, David, welcome to the show. You trained for the Queen. You actually trained her first Australian winner. What was that like? And welcome to the Rush Hour, Dave.
Nice to be on the show, Bill and fellas. It was a great experience. She was an absolute horse lover.
Yeah.
And right into the detail of horse training. And to have a winner for her and being the first in Australia was an honour. But I got a few nervous phone calls, by me.
Yes.
The first call I got, I used to talk to her manager.
Yep.
And the first call I got was, I told the manager on the Friday before the Bart Cummings Stakes, the lead up to the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
I reckon the Queen's horse can win, I told him. And said, oh, well, Her Majesty will ring you on Saturday night. And I said, great, I'd love to talk to her after a win. That'll be good. Well, lo and behold, the horse hung like a mongrel and ran last. And so I thought, oh, well, I won't be hearing from Her Majesty. And lo and behold, at about 8 o'clock, the phone rang, private number, and a lady said, it's Buckingham Palace. Have you got 5 minutes for Her Majesty? And, of course, I went through my mind. I thought, I wonder if freaking Hamish and Andy are doing a prank call on me. I sort of wasn't sure, but anyway, I took it. And anyway, I didn't know what to say or what to do. And they found her in the library, and she said, is that you, David? And I said, yes, speaking, man. And she said, tough day in the office? And I said, oh, yes, it was. And anyway, she put me at ease and she was lovely.
Yeah.
But I said to her in closing in the phone call, I said, look, I've reviewed everything I've done with the horse. And the only thing I would change is I would take the pacifiers off.
Yeah.
And she said, what are pacifiers? And I said, they're these mesh things over the horse's eye. And basically... And I meant to tell her that they're to keep the horse relaxed.
Yeah.
But I actually said, they're actually, you put them there on to slow them down. And she said, that certainly worked, didn't it?
And what about Bold Sniper? That was the first winner I think you trained. She would have been happy with that.
Yeah, that was Bold Sniper before we worked him out. He was the prick of a horse. And Bold Sniper, actually, another interesting story, interaction I had with the Queen was Bold Sniper had won at Moonee Valley, so it was all good news.
Yeah.
And I happened to be at the Crows game at Adelaide Oval, and I got a message on my phone. It was 50,000 people screaming. It was a close game. And I got a message on my phone, said, have you got 5 minutes for Her Majesty? And that was a call I wanted to take because I had good news and the horse had won. So I got up from my seat and I ran into some of the VIP areas.
Yeah.
And they kept kicking me out. They said, no, you can't come in here. You can't come in here. And I said, look, I've got a really important phone call and I have to be in complete silence. And they said, no, I'm sorry. And I said, look, I trained for the Queen. I trained a winner for the Queen. And the Queen's about the bloody ring. Just give me a bit of space. And the bloke went, all right. And he let me. So I was in the toilet of some VIP room talking to the Queen.
Hey, David, did you ever go over to her own equestrian setup? Apparently it was unbelievable, the stables and everything else. Did you ever get over there?
Look, I never did. But I went to the Royal Meeting, which is her meeting, and Prue and I and Ben actually were there with Red Kirk Warrior, a good horse I trained. And we got a message that the Queen would like to have afternoon tea with us, which was a huge thrill to meet her. You know, she is such a wonderful lady.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. And, mate, she did. I think she had 2,000 winners or something, I read, Dave, which is just unbelievable. How many horses did she own?
Oh, she has a lot of horses. I think she had 100 mares, so, you know, she raced all the progeny. So she was truly one of the biggest owners in the world and really loved it and loved the attention to the detail. She was truly a pleasure to train for.
And she was also an accomplished equestrian herself.
Yes, and like a daughter, rode in the Olympics, so they're a real horsey family.
Yeah, Jim.
Thanks very much for joining us and giving us an insight into what it was like to train horses for the Queen. What a great story.
Thank you.
See you, Hazy.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. No. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. We've searched the stables for Billy's best horse joke, and this was the only one that isn't scratched.
The jokes have been getting worse.
They're going to get worse.
Bill.
On the best of Triple M's Rush Hour, this is Billy's Melbourne Cup Day joke.
Righto, Jim, here we go. Are we ready? My headphones might stay on. Jim, a man was admitted to hospital today. I just read about this, Jim, with 20 plastic toy horses. Jim, a man was admitted to the hospital today.
Yes.
With 20 plastic toy horses inserted in his back passage, okay?
Okay, Bill.
Okay. But I've just rang the hospital, Jim, and the doctors have described his condition as stable. Stable, Jim, because they're toy horses. Apparently, he was horsing around.
Stop talking. So when you get half a giggle out of your punchline, you don't have to say anything more, especially when you're talking about this sort of thing. Play the music, Rabbit, for God's sake.
What was going on?
Bill, enough talking from you. Just leave it at the punchline and move on.
He was stable anyway.
His condition's stable.
Oh, that's all okay. Sam Plank, Sam Wolf.
Walking fat.
Come on. It's going to be in. Oh, horses, Jim. Here
they come. On, Bill.
Good work, Rabs. I like
enough
it.
Enough of that.
Horses.
This has been the best of Triple M's Rush Hour. We'll be back tomorrow with special guest host Daisy Thomas. And download the listener app to hear the show anywhere, anytime. LASTNR.
I feel good!